Everyone has that one memory they try to erase from their mind. It claws at them, trying to come back, but we don't want it to. The memory might be big, or it might be small. I have one of those. It comes and goes sometimes, but I know it's one I will never forget. The summer of 2017 was one special summer. My best friend left for college. I was going into junior year, and it was actually hot this year. Prior to school starting, almost a month before, I decided I was going to spend a week and a half at my grandparents' house in Tijuana. I hadn't spent time with them in a while, so why not go this summer? My parents were all up for it, letting me go and stay with them as long as I promised to help out. The days leading up to the visit seemed to go by fast, as it was finally the day I would go. We had driven to my uncle's house in Bonita, where my grandma, grandpa, and cousin were waiting for me. Loading my bags in the car, I said goodbye to my mom, dad, and little brother, and headed off. With my grandma driving and my cousin and I in the back seat, we made small talk, a couple sentences thrown in the air as we stopped at a gas station before heading straight to the San Isidro border. It took maybe a half hour to get over, and as soon as we made it to Playas de Tijuana and to their home, I took my bags to the guest room, my cousin following close behind. His curly blonde hair bounced as he walked behind me. For a couple minutes, I'd forgotten his presence, he was even there, until he startled me, as he made it his mission to scare me and jump on the bed. As soon as my figure shook from his movement, he bursted into laughter, his curls shaking and swaying as he looked at me before turning his attention to the family dog, now sitting on the bed next to him. My body bent down as I reached to untie my shoes before slipping them off and throwing my body onto the queen-size bed, right next to my cousin and the puppy. As soon as she realized I was on the bed, she walked over, sitting on my stomach, begging to be given attention. My fingers raked through her fur as she snuggled closer to my body. Out of the corner of my eye, my cousin's bright blue eyes were transfixed on the remote for the small TV as he nudged me before I turned my gaze to him. ¿Me pasas el control? I nodded and placed the remote on his open palm before he turned on the TV, and the outside world was tuned out by the sounds of laughter and skits. The next few days consisted of almost the same routine. Every morning I woke up early with my grandma and my cousin, eating breakfast around 10 a.m., getting ready from 11 a.m. through 12 p.m., and helping around throughout the rest of the day. On Tuesday, I let my parents know that I was going to stay with my grandparents until Monday, which would be 4 days later. My mind had been made up about staying when my grandma asked for help in taking care of my younger cousins. I couldn't say no. My cousins were like my little siblings, and I held so much love for them. The rest of the day was spent cleaning with my grandma, spending time with her and my aunt picking me up around 12. We had driven to my aunt's house around 1 p.m., only to stay inside the rest of the day, ordering pizza and watching Netflix together. Since it had been a long time since I spent time with my aunt and my cousin, this was exactly what I had missed when I was away. The night went by fairly quickly, and the next day, Friday, my aunt dropped me off at my grandma's once more, a little after 3 p.m. I headed inside, helping my grandma make dinner for my grandpa, family guest, and I. Dinner consisted of talking and laughing, sharing jokes and thoughts between each other. The adults bonded and I was kind of there. My grandparents were talking to each other. Sometimes their comments directed towards me, but I was in the background. Dinner went by fairly quickly for me as I helped my grandma wash the dishes and headed over to the guest room, where I found myself watching the same episodes of Criminal Minds once again. Half an hour later, I decided I was going to go see if my grandma needed anything, as I heard voices coming from the dinner table. As soon as I emerged from the hall, I saw my other baby cousin in my uncle's arms as I smiled and picked her up, bouncing her on my hip before I placed her down and she took off running to the same room I had just come out of. I greeted my uncle, looking over at my grandpa with a smile before I saw the bottle of wine on the table. Dismissing it, I headed back to the room and continued to watch TV, my cousin now sleeping on my lap. Most of my time from 5 p.m. through 8 p.m. was spent watching TV and cradling my cousin in my arms, popcorn on the table in front of me. My cousin woke up once just to turn her body on my lap before falling fast asleep. The second time she woke up, she rubbed her eyes, gazing at me before grabbing the bowl of popcorn and taking off towards the living room. The movie was still playing in the background. The only sounds heard were of superheroes fighting in a battle. As I stood up and quickly washed my face in the next room before applying a charcoal face mask. By this time, I had returned to the room, and my phone had started ringing. My mom was calling for a nightly FaceTime with all three of my family members, as I answered immediately and was greeted with the smiling face of my mom and my little brother. Hola, I smiled before waving back and sitting down on the couch. ¿Cómo estás? My mom asked me, a smile evident on the static screen. She seemed happy to see me, even though we had only last seen each other on Sunday night. Muy bien, aquí con la mascarilla en la cara, I answered brightly, trying not to crack the mask on my face as I let it sit and dry. Our conversation went on for a few minutes before my grandma walked in, her footsteps a little heavier as she saw me on my phone. ¿Qué haces en el teléfono? My grandma asked, her eyes kind of drooping as she tried stumbling her way over to me. I stood up, heading to her instead, so she wouldn't hurt herself trying to reach me. Mi mamá me habló. My answer was brief and simple. Ah, déjame ver, she said before grabbing my phone and starting a conversation. She had her arm wrapped around my waist, holding me close to her. That's when the stench became noticeable. I could smell it. Her breath stunk of wine as she leaned into me, making me shift my feet to adjust my balance. She was drunk, the alcohol already affecting her brain as I watched her talk to my mom. Esta no hace nada en la casa. Siempre está en el pinche teléfono y viendo la tele, my grandma said, pulling me closer before she turned to me and smiled. Pero todavía te quiero, mi niña. I pulled a fake smile, turning to my grandma before she turned back, and my lips turned into a frown. Since I've had so much confidence in my grandma and comfort in being with her this moment, it seemed like all the trust I had in her shattered. I no longer felt safe around her. She repeated the phrase, pero todavía te quiero, various times along with an insult. I witnessed it, and through the phone screen, I could see my mom's face of utter disbelief. Yet we both stayed quiet, because my grandma would not take it well if we were to be honest with her. But it changed when my dad came into the picture. He had been listening the whole conversation in the background. And now, it was time for my dad to confront her through a FaceTime call. Déjala en paz, ella no te hizo nada, my dad said harshly, trying to prove a point as he talked to my grandma through the screen. ¿Y tú qué? ¿Qué tienes contra mí? No sé qué traumas tienes mi hijo, pero... She tried getting a sentence out before my dad cut her off with a simple phrase. No tengo nada, mamá. Tú eres la que tienes traumas. That was the last thing he said before he handed the phone back to my mom, leaving sight of the camera. By this time, my mom was crying and she tried reasoning with my grandma. She wasn't registering anything, and I was hurt. In this moment, my grandma had been affected by alcohol. Alcohol is known not only as a depressant, but as an indirect stimulant. This affects the brain chemistry by altering the levels of your neurotransmitters, also known as the chemical messengers that transmit the signals throughout the body that control thought process, behavior, and emotion. It affects both excitatory neurotransmitters and inhibitory neurotransmitters. An excitatory neurotransmitter is glutamate, which increases brain activity and energy levels and plays an important role in learning and memory. What alcohol does to glutamate is suppresses the release of glutamate, which results in slowdown along your brain's highways. Your memory is delayed and your energy will be low, which is why most people, when under the influence, they tend to forget the memories of what happened and they get tired very easily. An inhibitory neurotransmitter is GABA, which calms everything down and helps reduce anxiety or fear in the brain. Drugs or painkillers like Xanax and Valium, both used to treat anxiety, increase GABA production in the brain, resulting in sedation. Alcohol does the same thing by increasing the effects of GABA. This, by the way, is one reason you don't want to drink alcohol while taking benzodiazepines. The effect will be amplified and that can slow your heart rate and respiratory system down to dangerous levels. In the end, alcohol slows down your thoughts, speech, and movements. So the more you drink, the more you'll feel these effects. Alcohol affects the regions of the brain, which then affects your ability to process information at the same rate of an average sober human being, and that's when all of our senses shut down. We tend to get blackouts, loss of memory, and forget events. The next day after the incident, my grandma approached me. Her face looked concerned as I looked and felt like I did not sleep at all, which I didn't. The night was spent awake with the TV with the sound low as I locked the door before sitting on the fold-out bed. I tried to keeping myself awake, trying to forget last night's memories, but nothing could take me away from what had happened. So when my grandma asked what had happened, I answered with a question. ¿No te acuerdas qué pasó? I asked my grandma the next morning. Sí, yo me acuerdo de todo, she simply answered, with a small smile. She told me she remembered everything, but a couple weeks later I found out it was a lie. When I had returned home, I had gotten into a long discussion with my parents all about the situation I had been put in. It was difficult and tears were shed. With tears in my eyes, I admitted to my parents that I was terrified after the incident. I had never seen my grandparents under the influence, so it being the first time, I felt truly uncomfortable. One of the reasons I had stayed up that night was because I was terrified of what could have happened. I was terrified that my uncle or grandpa could have wandered into my room at night with them under the influence. Who knows what could have happened? Thankfully, nothing had happened, but all the trust I had in my grandma was gone. I no longer felt safe in her presence. I've always been told by my grandma that I needed to change, that I needed to alter my appearance or lose weight. Those comments hurt, my emotions and self-confidence crumbling down as I nervously smiled and nodded, sometimes rolling my eyes. After these incidents, however, my parents would always reassure me that I wasn't perfect, that I shouldn't listen to her. You were made just the way God wanted, and no one could change that. Don't listen to her, darling, my parents always said. Over the years, I've been able to build my confidence, building a wall around my thoughts and emotions, not letting people's comments get to me. Yes, I'm fragile. Yes, I'm not perfect. I'm not strong. But I'm also human. I have emotions, thoughts, and opinions. Your thoughts or opinions might hurt, but I always have people I can come back to who will assure me over and over again that no one is perfect, and you shouldn't listen to them because we love you, Amber. A bond between family is sacred, something that has been built over time. When that bond is shattered, the comfort around that is gone. You no longer feel the same presence you once did, and their opinions are stronger towards you. Every single thing they tell you becomes a heavy weight on your shoulders, and sometimes it feels too heavy for you to handle. This bond is sacred, and when it's broken, the connection with that person is shattered as well, and you no longer possess the same trust you used to have.